见到的那种我们世界各地的工作，他在那儿可能我们这个世界的工作人的心理状态不是，这些是他们继承下面的父母也很慢的说这个生活学。
Please listen to today's talk with the highest motivation of attaining the state of Buddhahood in order that you may be of immense benefit to all sentient beings who have been your mothers throughout beginning and last time existence. Any questions before I start? No questions. Namdu. So, in life, as a human, we need to make two preparations. The two are, we need to prepare for and work to achieve happiness and overcome suffering and the problems of this material life that we now have. And then also prepare for the life hereafter, because the life hereafter is unknown. Things that we need to do and that we do do for this life are relatively less important in comparison to the things that we need to do for many successive future lives yet to come. This life could be lived through one's own effort and the means one would find, as well as if one is so desperate, then since we live in human society, relatively compassionate society, there are people who you could turn to. And so one way or the other, one could, one can manage to live this life reasonably well. Yet, what is going to happen to us in the life hereafter is anybody's guess. However, what is clear is all material gain, fame, position, and excellent educational skills, they won't be offer any benefit. So, if you depend too much on material resources for life, then we would be let down at the crunch time. For example, only a few days back, the famous American IT icon passed away. Steve Jobs, for example, or rather Gachela is referring to, in terms of his skills, education, and what that person could do, there was no comparison. He was peerless, and he was, you know, the best in the world in what he did. And yet, when he was struck down by disease, he succumbed to the disease finally, which was very sad. That clearly shows in matters of life and death, what we acquire outwardly will not be of much help in terms of averting the inevitable.
所以说这道我心愿都根据清楚的人，那个别说几道，嗯，说是周几道，哦，但是这些那几道你肯定没得讲，他是如果我们是。So
when our life comes to an end, as it did for that great person, we could take nothing at all to the next life. Things that we have worked for in terms of money, power, position, fame, and everything is to be left behind, except that some could leave a much greater legacy than others. After all, when everybody leaves something behind, and nothing is taken away with them to the next life.
其实这第一个东西，可是他身体不舒服，目前为止他是做麻生，但我都不愿意他把他抛弃他。肯定是了。身体有可能就话，他骨头有毛病。那人了。他顶过我们，但我，但我都顶过我们，他把他抛弃他。So
if a great person of his stature, for example, could not keep death at bay or completely avert it, then it is obvious that people like ourselves will not succeed in it either. So there's no point being scared of death because it's going to come sooner or later. The intelligent thing to do is to prepare for it and to face it with peace of mind and calm dignity. Unfortunately, we don't have the luxury of time, for the time of death is highly unpredictable. So unpredictable that we have no idea which would come first. The things that we have planned to do in the future, next week, the next day, or the end of life of this life, which would come first? It is anybody's guess.
现在他天天找这一步的，他你们天天能够满足吗？他肯定那面子在那，就前面一下，他那还行吧。Given
this unpredictability of the time of death, if we mean serious in preparing for this for death and for lives after death, we need to start from today itself.
就是他对成这个当中，就南北两边的社会呢，他们就去谁的地方呢？他是讲的嘛，他那身体个，那找这个平衡嘛。From
Buddhist perspective, what preparations can we make? We can do nothing more than practice Dharma.
那六个七十五个人呢，可是能通过，啊， dāna dhūma pōke dāmbā gōsā, sōsō kī dhūma dhōng nirgāng dhā rā tēni, dē mā dhō shēnā nī tēni dhō chī dzō gōrā sē, nē nō dhō kā nō yā mā rā sē.
So, the Buddha, the historical Buddha, when he started teaching, he didn't say to people, you have to practice Dharma, or else something bad will happen to you. All that he did was, he stated to them the facts of life, and his maiden teaching, and his maiden statement of a lifelong teaching career was, this is the truth of suffering. And pointing to life, Buddha said, life that we know is basically fraught with all kinds of suffering. And therefore, he called upon people or listeners that they need to wake up to their situation, their state of affairs. And the Dungil Shepherdja, they must realize that their life is
fraught with the suffering.
Thirdly, he said, when you know suffering truly, there is no suffering to be known. What he meant was, once you have realized suffering and have succeeded in extinguishing suffering permanently, then there won't be suffering that you would experience, and therefore you would be beyond suffering, and as a result, there will be no suffering to be known. So, as we have been instructed or advised that we need to acknowledge, not shun or deviate from suffering, acknowledge suffering, then acknowledgement of suffering is to enable us find means to overcome it, of which different traditions, different religious traditions offer different suggestions or pieces of advice. So, Buddha, on Buddha's part, suffering cannot be abandoned or eliminated for you by other people. You must undo your suffering, and therefore he offers means with which one can do so. So one has to examine, Buddha says, what one thinks are the underlying causes of recurring suffering of a body and mind. Secondly, Can those causes be ended and never repeated again? When, okay, on the Buddhist perspective, according to Buddhist perspective, as one examines what might be the causes of recurring suffering of a body and mind, life after life, Buddha said you would find that three things cause the recurring sufferings: desire, hatred, and ignorance. And these three things called the poisons of mind, or pollutants of mind, arise from a fundamental misconception about the nature of a person, who we are. And that misconception is called gangsage dakjin, faulty conception of one as a person, as having true independent existence. In previous weeks, I talked about how the faulty conception that our mind suffers, grasps, or perceives how one as a person exists. Equally, I talked about whether at all there is a self of a person, that faulty conception of our mind would have us believe. If one as a person exists truly independently, without depending on anything, as our faulty conception would have us believe, then there would be many fallacies that become irreconcilable, and so I talked about that. So to recap, if the self of a person, that is a truly independent self of a person, were to exist, then it would be findable. One should discover it. When you look for that, you have to look for such a self among the body and mind called physiopsychological components. So if it existed at all, it should be either the same as that body and mind, or it should be completely distinct from the body and mind. There are only two possible ways for it to exist and to be found. So last week I talked about when you look for supposed true independent person, and checking whether it is the same as body and mind or different from, we could not find, and nobody with a clear rational thinking, when they probe into it, could not pinpoint, could not find it. That clearly shows that there's a discrepancy between how such an independent self appears to exist, and yet in reality, it is empty of such an existence.
嗯，就是他，你说落地，他那时候原话他就造诣嘛，对吧？他就永远把那个心执着，等这落水全部淹了，造空着之后，来晓得，等这落地个他那就融了嘛，通了嘛，他就永远把心执着。So,
however, when this conception that self exists truly or independently, although dispassionate analysis proves otherwise. So when that conception is very strong, the stronger the conception, the stronger the misconception or the faulty conception, the more easily will other disturbing emotions, such as a desire, hatred, jealousy, masculiness, and all that, these would follow or arise much more easily. We certainly need to free ourselves and our mind of such a faulty conception, and this cannot be got rid of through exercise, through medication, through eating healthy food, through doing all kinds of things that people normally do that they think are good for them. Such a conception which is the underlying and overarching cause of all suffering can only be eradicated if we develop a fresh perspective which sees things directly opposite the way faulty conception sees.
他肯定有没有什么目的的开了什么，他口罩都没得被老师认得，对不对？And this single
is called Gangsagi Dangmitoga Lo, a perspective that realizes a total absence of independent I or independent truly existent person. Whilst we need to develop and work to develop this fresh perspective, it is not easily developed. A lot of prerequisites have to be gathered for the development of this new perspective. So, four approaches or four steps have been put forward or advanced to help us develop Gangsagi Dangmitoga Lo, this fresh perspective that understands total absence of independent I.
So
So the first step is identify what is called the object of negation. So when we try to develop total absence, when the fresh perspective helps develop total absence of what? And it is that we have to identify, and that identifying total absence of what is called, okay, what has to be eradicated is called the object of negation. So the object of negation, or what has to be eradicated, is independently existing I, which I said before, teaching said doesn't exist at all, except in the faulty conception of our mind. So we need to bring to life, as it were, such an independent I, which is the object of negation, which is totally absent. And then we have to check, does that independent I exist by being either the same as body or mind and all mind, or by being totally distinct from these? And first become very sure of that. So as you analyze, as you examine whether the supposed independent I exists by one with aggregates or by being totally distinct, is neither one with nor totally distinct, so it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist, and that is the absence of I, and the knowledge of the conviction, or the, let's say, the knowledge and the conviction that follows, conviction of total absence, must be held as long as possible before one's mind's eye. And then while meditating, while concentrating, concentrating single-pointedly on the total absence of I, independent I, a corner of the mind again and analyzes if I exist by being one with or by being distinct from, for these are the only two ways I could exist. And again it will come to the same conclusion, it's neither one with nor distinct. And it reinforces the conviction that you already are dwelling in. So that's the first method, first step. To start with the second step.
So, Geshe-la says,
why at the moment, despite the teachings telling us how to come to the conclusion about the total absence of an independent I. Yet, you know, no feeling, our heart doesn't seem to warm up to this kind of conclusion. Nothing seems to tweak and to happen. This is because we don't have support of a merit.
그래서 더 예세나 소화세카메데 메세 소화세카메데 다 수수 미르트노 시제 세노메타
소사메타. So when we have a little response or reaction to the message that I doesn't exist, or when other schools of thought are content that such an I does exist, we seem to remain indifferent without any reaction. A lack of reaction shows lack of talk. Toksa means a merit, or collection of merit. I'll tell you an anecdote. So I'll tell you an account. In Tibet, there are two main college of tantric colleges, and one is called the lower tantra Gyume College of Tantra, and in there they have many tantric adepts. So such a monk from the lower Lhasa school, Gyume College of Tantra, went to another Lama and asked for some teaching on the Buddhist philosophy about nature of I. At that time, that Lama was sitting leaning against a pillar. So the Geshe, the Lama, said, I'm not very conversant about Buddhist ontology or the nature of self. However, do you see me? Do you see a pillar I'm leaning against? According to the second highest school of Buddhist thought, they say the pillar can be found when you analyze. However, he said, the highest school of thought says the pillar cannot be found when you analyze. So I'm not very conversant, and however, I refer you to So he said, I'll refer you to another Lama living in Tsang province of central Tibet. And the Lama is called Drongpa Gyatsapa, a disciple of Benchen Losang Chekinibun, the first Benchen Lama, Losang Cheki Gyantsen. And he was sent to that Lama.
Mm-hmm.
So he arrived at the place and went to see the Lama, and the Lama taught him, the Lama started teaching him. The procedure of this Lama was he would teach. For example, he explained to this monk how to identify the object of negation and the great importance of identifying. And he was asked to spend a week checking for himself the object of negation. So he found a cave where he sat and meditated on the teaching and the suggestions, tips of identifying the object of negation. A week passed, maybe even 2 weeks passed, when he was supposed to report to his Lama about his discovery. So he was not sure. The Lama didn't see him, even after maybe 2 weeks. So the Lama became quite concerned and sent two of his disciples to check on him, because Lama said, I'm very scared about this student. It may be possible that he is standing at the cliff, on the face of the cliff, about to jump off it. So the two monk disciples went to the cave, and fortunately he wasn't about to jump off the cliff. On the contrary, he was tightly holding on to the rock of the cave. So the two messengers said, the Lama has sent for you, so you need to go back and see the Guru. And this meditator said, I can't, I'm very scared to go back. So they decoupled the monk from the rock, and then literally manhandled him and took him to the Guru. So when he was produced before the Lama gave further teachings on how to precisely identify object of negation and what the pitfalls that he might face and what he should do when he faced the pitfalls in this process. Subsequently, he is said to have succeeded in his attempt to develop the right view. So we, in a way, ideally speaking, we need to develop such kind of a feeling that this meditator, this monk, had. And he reacted very strongly mentally as well as physically, he was you know, expressing that reaction. And in our case, you know, when we are not able to react strongly, respond, that is a very unfortunate circumstance, and that clearly shows we don't have enough merit to support, to have such positive reaction. So similarly, I'll tell you another account, anecdote. The great 15th century Tibetan master Jamgon Lama Tsongkhapa. At one time he was teaching Nagarjuna's root wisdom text to a gathering of for his disciples. And among many luminary disciples, one of them was Juchen Shirab Sangi. His name was Shirab Sangi. He was also there. This Juchen Shirab Sangi was considered a human manifestation of a tantric deity called Vajrapani. But assuming a human form to work for the teaching. When historical Buddha assumed the form of Tantric Buddha and taught a very important tantric work called Guha Samaja, the sacred, some say secret assembly, or you can say, you know, sacred assembly. So it was Vajrapani who, you know, took responsibility to bring together the teaching of Guha Samaja and to uphold that. So, you know, Juchen Shirab Sangi also took upon himself. And he promised Lama Tsongkhapa that he would look after and ensure the, you know, presence and dissemination of Guha Samaja Tantra. So the point of the this anecdote was, so this master Juchen Shirab Sangi, who in definitive terms was this tantric deity, yet as a human disciple of Lama Tsongkhapa, a recipient of the teaching of Nagarjuna's root wisdom text, and at that point, Lama Tsongkhapa was talking about the need for precise identification of what is it that you negate and establish emptiness of. At that point, Juchen Shirab Sangi clutched onto his collar, the collar of his shirt, very tightly.
그래서 또 따오시 전제지 토하면 또 따오시는 뭐지 뭔가 그랬어요. 한통 말했어요.
So that was seen by the teacher by Lama Tsongkhapa that this disciple, this luminary disciple, succeeded in precisely identifying object of negation. So what I'm saying is, we need to be able to have such feelings.
그래서 선생님 대화진 또 들려줘 그도 당시 쓰는 것 때문에 아마 잘했더니 또 내가 만드나 병원이면 대야됐어요.
The point of all this, the long and the short of all this is, we need to succeed in identifying the object of negation, the object or the factor that needs to be negated by our mind in order to understand total absence of independent self. Until we succeed, then despite the fact that we innately detest any suffering of body and mind, we won't succeed in, you know, being free from suffering. In other words, we will keep facing the same recurring suffering of a body and mind.
스스로가 나도 마치 이제 쉬 제의 상황을 등에다 나라 다음에 흘러주지 않는데 다시 시험을 열려야 돼. 또 입찰 곳에 입찰을 했다. 가서 해주면 어려서 한번 세워버렸습니다.
So, when we are uncritical of our performance, when we are uncritical of our of self evaluation, how one is performing in these matters, we may think we're not doing too badly. For example, in my case, Geshe-la says, I'm in my 40s. And when it comes to the critical question of whether I have got this or not, it's a very humbling, sobering, matter.
그
So among the audience, yes, you have had a lot of teachings over the years, and your story might not be too different from my story.
대답은 들리지 전에 다 단다 때리면 늘 쳐도 다른 시간 하고 들리지 쳐도 먼저 쳐보고 또 돼요.
So if this is the state of affairs, our current state of affairs, and then this status quo, this state of affairs will continue until the crunch time comes. When it comes, then it would have been too late.
지금 다들 못해 단 수술 명화제원하는 다시 예고하면서 소 수술 감정 이제 수술 걸려 전에 명화제가 다시 제거해서.
So to eradicate, to annihilate, to consume, to extinguish, to eradicate, such a faulty perspective, a faulty idea about self. We have to do two things. First, we need to gather necessary support of merit through positive actions and clearing away of mental obstruction. Secondly, then make concerted effort in meditation on the absence of inherent I.
나도 네 서베는 뉴스에 와라 서베 그만 년에대라 그 뉴스 그만 년에대라 서베도 그게 현지 시제나 추도 리도네 제가 서로 그 어머니 그냥 아들 밤에도 또 시에 말라요 근데 그 제가 좀 모르겠어
We need you know, support of a marriage as a cooperative factors. For example, for a seed to produce a seedling, the seed has got the potential to generate a seedling. And the seedling which would be of same causal type as the seed. For the seed, although the seed has a potent potential to generate a seedling, unless it meets with soil, heat, moisture, which are indispensable cooperative agents, the seed alone by itself in a dry space will not generate seedling. In the same way, for us to develop or generate a seedling of a new perspective, understanding total absence of independent eye, that our mind, which has the potential to become that realization, needs the support of merits and purification. So, gathering merits is indispensable prerequisite for deep realization of emptiness of self, for example. And as for that, there are seven ways of gathering merits. So they are called the seven sublimes. The first is the seven practice of prostrations. The second way of gathering merits and gathering merits is offering, making offerings. The third is confession, admitting one's wrongdoings. The fourth is rejoicing one's and others' positive deeds. The fifth is The fifth is asking gurus, buddhas to turn the wheel of Dharma, which is a Buddhist way of saying to teach, to shed the light of Dharma. So let me, I've talked about these four. Let me briefly talk about the fifth and the sixth. So the sixth sublime practice is requesting gurus and buddhas to live on without, passing away. So if your imagination can handle, imagine yourself in the presence of each and every buddhas throughout, throughout universe, and in their presence, then fervently ask them not to dissolve their physical manifestation, but to live on and to teach.
Mm-hmm. 我出席的时候啥大家知道，出席更为很重要，那就啥大方面是。
If imagining oneself in the presence of every single Buddhas that there are, then the next thing one could do is to imagine that one is in the presence of the gurus in the merit field that I described to you quite some time ago, and then do the same thing. So, when you ask them to live on, do imagine that you are offering a golden throne for them to sit on and live on. And as you offer a golden throne in your request to them to live on, do feel that your request is accepted. This is what we need to do. Earnestly, you know, offer us gurus and buddhas to live on and okay. Such a sincere and earnest request to them to live on would be more effective than simply parroting long life prayers. Experienced lamas have said doing such a thing, that is requesting them to live on, would incidentally also have a beneficial effect on your own longevity. Now the seventh. The seventh sublime practice is called dedication, equally important. Because a true practice must have a sound beginning, and which is determined by intention, which I've always asked you to generate the highest motivation to listen to today's discourse, for example. And secondly, then you must do a quality practice. Thirdly, the quality practice that was grounded on sound motivation must be sandwiched by a sound dedication. So starting with bodhicitta, when you do practice or when you listen to the teaching, and then concluding with the dedication, dedicating whatever goodness one has gathered through practice or through listening to the teaching to attaining the state of a Buddhahood, are metta-mabhamins, indispensable requirements. So to what do we dedicate? We dedicate geza, means root virtues or positive energy that one has gathered from different virtues. And what should we dedicate these to? Dedicate these to attaining the perfect state of a Buddhahood. Who do we dedicate to? we dedicate merits and positive energy to all sentient beings, so that they in time will also attain their own state of Buddhahood.
他们说肯定不，他老师那边教他们好，但是他那个在写法方面，教法都更加秘密一点，他们不能讲，就讲不了。So
how should we dedicate? We need to dedicate the merits within the framework of emptiness of a true existence of the person who dedicates. Emptiness of the person who dedicates the merits dedicated, emptiness of the merits dedicated, and who dedicated or what dedicated, that they too are empty. In other words, dedication must be quality dedication, must have the step of realization of absence of the three factors of dedication. The practitioner, the practice, and the object. So there are two reasons for dedication. So the benefit of dedication is sake. Even if what you dedicate is seemingly negligible merit from a small virtue, however, if you keep in the fixed deposit, as it were, of attaining Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings, then that the merit will last until you are attaining the stage of a Buddhahood. Merit will not be destroyed by anger. Lamas give analogy for this. If you throw, you know, a few drops of water into the ocean, you take a few drops of water and throw it into the ocean. How long will the drops of water last? The few drops of your water will last as long as the waters of the ocean exist.
他所用好了，那给咱漂白，他没再把用过了。他里面一些大白提个，你空气胶囊没了，用过了。So
when you dedicate in this way, it has the benefit of increment, exponential increment of a small merit into an unimaginable quantity of merit. When you dedicate merit within the framework of absence of intrinsic existence of the three factors of dedication, person, the dedicator, the dedication itself, and the merit dedicated, then such a dedication which is sealed by this realization will remain indestructible. Anger, however strong one may have from time to time, will not destroy or will not consume such merits dedicated in this way.
这个当然就同人了，就是那群居居嘛，怎么样？这这这空气脏什么？特别磅礴的。We
are poor in merits, and if you don't, if you forget to dedicate, and we would be subjecting a small amount of merit to destruction by recurring anger, so it's a great loss.
Mm-hmm. long time to Mosin attaches and home at Jessimo soon, soon. The Tato was over and what you want. That was a terror condition, and I made Jim Jimmy from the Jim Hoyat. Okay, Chishin is my house.
So, dedication could be made for different purposes, but it is said if you dedicate your merits also for the successful dissemination of teaching in the world, so that a greater number of beings come in contact with the teaching, that's sort of one of the best ways. Secondly, you could also dedicate merits through different virtues to a meeting with your qualified spiritual mentor, so that life after life, you know, when you move from strength to strength, you always come in contact with qualified spiritual mentors. Dedicating merit to these is said to be of extreme importance for one.
我现在那肯定是他是做作为他是对的，俺们听说原来讲呢，王先生就是他那样的，做比较喜欢用过的。
So, I've just enumerated and explained, the first five sublime practices, because I've explained them in before, and so briefly explained the six and seven. So these are called seven limb practices or seven sublimes. And if one makes serious effort in these and not overlooking them as a practice of the beginners, as it were, rather embrace these practices well in one's daily life, then the stock of merit would build up, and then that stock of merit would become strong support needed for gaining insight into emptiness. So when one's mind is seasoned by or in these in the merits from these sublime source or from these sublime virtues, some things will happen when you listen to the teachings on emptiness. When you have a strong merit, where the mind has been made ready to explode with the realization, and when you listen to the teachings on the emptiness, you will become highly charged with emotion. Tears well up in your eyes, and your hair stand on the ends, and positively you are moved. And so such are the signs that indicate the person is ready for the teaching of emptiness. So what I want to say now is for Buddhists, it's very important to have to carry out critical examination. So the teaching is flourishing. The teaching started flourishing in the late 20th century and is now flourishing, and the teaching is there to help people. So critical investigative mind has been the reason why, or the prevalence of a critical mind, the culture of critical analysis and examination has been the reason why Buddhism has become attractive for many people in the world, and has been so since the late years of the last century and the beginning years of the 21st century. And that is because science, which is grounded in this critical, unbiased analysis of issues, is the main method of knowledge and information. And since science has become the dominant method of gaining correct knowledge about things, so Buddhism has attracted attention.
제가 소설지 화면에 지에 화면에 소설에서 논도도 지면에 화면에 지금 매를 써야 되잖아. 그 소설 가서 미리 어제 대체 동토에 한 마디. 또 매워대 민주 지역 와서.
So most people have received sound education, and therefore you have a very rational mind, and we need to use our rational mind to see what works and what doesn't work without necessarily adhering to the tradition, the past tradition on the grounds. I'm going to stick to it this way because this has been the tradition in my family. Or I'm not going to have any belief system because this has been the tradition in my family. On such grounds, if one didn't make best use of one's analytical mind, one will not grow.
어쨌든 다 따와도 시도 따와 생각은 같은 거 시도가 아마 되는 거 아니야? 어떻게 수직자와 신 텐션도 사는 그 친구 예수 뭐 수직자지면.
So it may sound that what I was understanding the right view is quite difficult. It indeed is difficult. A lot of prerequisites needs to be met. However, there's no option but to, stick to this approach to understanding emptiness. And after a while, you develop some understanding, as a result of which you begin to doubt the entrenched belief that I exist. Truly, although we don't say to ourselves, I exist truly, but subconsciously we believe that we exist truly. And as a result of ongoing analysis, you begin to doubt the entrenched subconscious or the unconscious ignorance about. Then that very doubt has far-reaching positive implications. So this morning, now I'll stop here, and next Sunday onwards, you know, this class is said to be Lamrim, Lamrim class, and I like to, I'm going to introduce a new set of Sunday meditation prayers, prayers to lineage gurus composed by Lama Jamgon Lama Tsongkhapa. So, I call upon people, especially people who have had, let's say, old students. It would be very sad to feel complacent on the grounds that you have had some knowledge, and I know what the one should never grow complacent. And more exposure would, the more the exposure, the deeper the conviction, and the deeper the conviction, you know, the sooner the realization. So rather than growing complacent, I would call upon everyone, including so-called old students, to come regularly. And if you stopped coming, Dharma wouldn't suffer, Dharma wouldn't lose, one would be the loser. Many lamas have this to say. Group participation generates a stronger conviction and much more beneficial than lone practice at home by self. Have you got any questions? As yes, April.
I'm wondering, please, Geshe-la, at some time, I don't know when we could fit it in, if we could have a small time at the end of one of our classes for meditation, 3 minutes or something, 5 minutes. I know it's quite busy with the scheduling, but just for the thought towards that.
Geshe-la, energy gap, zinda di dang zhuwal. Ani chi chidam ta sungju rungu sansa tukaya ma rizhwa. Juna, sungju chaiba jela nga zula, kama sum 3 minutes or 5 minutes. Ani chi ta shakum, sungju nangshya rwa, chutu chikta kama nichu sungju. Ani ti shakum jie chi kida, shakum jie na, chokum jie na chi, dhichi tungtung nangro nangsa. I've been thinking about the same issue Geshe-la says, and it's not going to be possible to do it on Sundays. I thought I would do it on Mondays, where, you know, people who come, I would explain topics, and people can meditate on Mondays for some time. And on Thursdays, I would then, like before, I will keep teaching the general principles of Buddhism, like the tenets and mind and awareness and so on.
Thank you.
So if you could come on Monday, for example, then there would be time for meditation.
주시겠어요?
네,
그렇습니다.
둘.
Male beings everywhere.